and easy things to celebrate. If you're like me, just about 2 years ago, I also lost my mom. If you no longer have mothers, the news came. I shared with you all this one time unexpectedly, and it was just going fast in a few days, and then after she was six, it was gone, and I wasn't able to go to her funeral service. But you know, I think of the things that my mother taught me and the things that she said, that things that didn't make sense at the time, but now I recall and I try to remember the words. And so mothers, I wanted to let you know that your children and grandchildren are paying attention, even if they act like they don't. We do, and they do. And one particular person that I want to lift up this morning in our time together is Hannah, a woman of faith. See, Hannah is not a typical mother. This is not like a mom and who would say, well, someday I'm going to have a family and I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to have, as people dream about, a beautiful family, a perfect family, and I'm be a godly mother. Hannah didn't start out like that. Although Hannah knew the Lord, Hannah heard of the goodness of the Lord, like God liberating, freeing people from Egypt, her ancestor, that she heard of the power and the goodness of God, like God who parted the Red Sea and make a way through the sea, God who fed his people from heaven, and God provided, the God who provided, the God who made miracles. She heard of all these stories, the faithfulness, the goodness of the Lord. But and yet in her present circumstances, in her present life, nothing makes sense for her. Because for years she wanted to have a child or children, a baby. The scripture said the Lord closed her womb and she could not have a baby. So she was upset, and she was not just upset, but she couldn't even eat. Day and night she was crying, she was praying. And in fact, she prayed so much to the Lord that the priest, the prophet Eli, and those who served the Lord in the temple said she was either drunk or crazy. She prayed day and night. Prayed to the Lord that God will answer her prayers. She knew that God was faithful to her parents and her grandparents and her ancestors. So she had this difficulty and challenge, and she didn't know what to do. She didn't know how to go on. But she did one thing right. She worshiped God fervently. She prayed to God day and night. And you know what? The past victories, the goodness of God in the past, the track record of God in her life did not stop her from trusting God in this present time. You see, she could have just said, well, God had provided everything. God solved all the problems. So I don't have to really worry about the things. But you see, she came to the Lord day and night praying. Praying for this one thing. That God will answer her prayer, that she will have a child. So one day, the answer came. So what's the story of Hannah? The story of Hannah is this. Men and women, I want to encourage you this and remember this. Point number one, God hears our prayers. Can we say amen to that? God hears our prayers and he answers our prayers, and be careful what you're praying for. God hears your prayer. He can be trusted. Don't rely just on the fact that, oh, God is good, God is faithful, God is good in the past, but pray for what you need today. Trust God in your present time. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenges you're facing, know that God hears your prayer. Therefore, you can come before the Lord with all that you need. Worship him. Serve him. Pray to him fervently. Even to the point if people think that you are drunk. And the scripture said the prophet Eli accused her of drinking wine and beer and getting drunk. And she said, no, I'm not. I've been praying day and night through tears and joy, and looking for the joy of the Lord. So our job, men and women, our calling, like Hannah, is to come before the Lord to pray. To pray for our families, to pray for our children, to pray for our parents. To pray that God will intervene, to pray that God will bless our family. Oh, don't we need the blessing of God today for our families, for our children, for our parents? Here is the incredible promise. God listens. God hears your cry, your joy. I know here some of you sitting there, you didn't get a chance to share your stories about how you raise your children or how you enjoy and love your family. But I have heard your testimony and your confession that many of you have prayed for your children at 5 a.m. every morning so that they will receive blessing from God and your prayers being answered. Don't stop there. Because they're going to need your prayer tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. That's why God made mothers. So that they can go before us, giving their love and sacrifice and offering their prayers before their children and serve as their prayer, as our prayer warriors, mothers, grandmothers, and mother's figures. Thank you for your prayers. And remember Hannah's stories, that God hears our prayers. And indeed, even when it seems that God did not part the sea in your life, that God did not perform miracles, trust Him anyway, because He is at work. He is interceding on your behalf. Jesus Christ is praying for you and for your family. Trust in Him. Sometimes we ask God to come into our life and help our family and bless our family, but we are holding on to our plans and our goals and we're still in charge, right? We say, God, help me, God, help my family and intervene in my situation, but we still hold on to our own dreams and our own goals and our own plans. See, Hannah prayed. She prayed to God day and night and worshiped fervently. And then when the answer came, this is what Hannah did. She trusted God. She trusted God so much that not only she trusted God with the answer prayer, she trusted God with the answer prayer. Not just for the present, for the future of her life and for her family, for her security. What do I mean by that? Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed day and night, fasting. She couldn't even eat. Then God heard her prayers, and she gave him a son. Do you know that son's name? Samuel. The greatest and the last judge of Israel. And at the age of 3, Hannah brought Samuel to the temple. And this is the joy and the pride of her life. What did Hannah do? She said, Lord, you take him. Not like, God, take him. More like, Lord, you take him. It's not like take him back, right? Lord, take this child of yours. I trust you with his life, his future. And you know, son in those days, our security, it's like a social security, right? Medicare, all the combined, I'm not going to the politics, but just protection for the elderly. Sons ought to provide for their parents. And yet, Hannah, when she received this prayer answered, what did she do? She gave back everything. She held nothing back. Offer her son for worship, for service, and for the glory of God. And what happened was history. Samuel served God and his nation faithfully, committedly, competently, and truthfully. The power of a praying mother. The power of a faithful mother. Oh, we have those in our midst. You heard Debbie's story. You heard Sandy's stories. You have your own stories of how you pray and pray and pray, and then God answered. And the calling for us now is men and women and parents, and especially mothers. Can we still trust God with your children, your present, your future? Can you offer them to the Lord and say, Lord, use them for your glory and honor, and that they may praise your name, and they may glorify your name, and that this world will be a better place because you have called them, because you have made them? Will you faithfully pray for your children? Will you seek a life of usefulness? Will you seek a life of usefulness for your children? We know the end result is. We know the reward is. If you do, God will reward your faithfulness, your service, not just for yourself, but for the world and for His glory and honor. Not too long ago, I had a chance to visit a local community not too far from me, about 20 minutes from our community in Bradford, Massachusetts. And I visited there and just saw a monument standing up from the ground. And I, out of my interest, I went up there and I heard some historical connection with that land. And I went and there was a monument put up. And it said, here stood a church that sent missionaries to foreign lands around the world to serve in churches and hospitals and in schools. And that mission was started back in the 1810. And I have a smartphone, which helped me to be very smart, and I Google it right away. I look it up and say, what's the historical connection here? And I discover that in that particular place, in that field, in that land, had chosen a woman by the name of Anne Heseltine Judson. See, Anne was a typical American girl, a Christian, grew up in a Christian home. But she went to Bradford College and Bradford Academy in Massachusetts, now known as North Point Bible College. She attended there and she attended church, but never realized back in the 1813, never realized that someday God will send her to far and far away land, a place called Burma, my native land, from Bradford, Massachusetts in 1813. But the Lord used her there. The Lord sent her there. She wasn't a mom at the time, but newly wed. Well, they got to Burma in 1813. You could imagine the place was just primitive and had nothing. And she got sick, and when she had planned a family, she had a first miscarriage right in the land of Burma. And she did not give up. Because all her life, she had been praying. She has been seeking, in her own word, seeking for the life of usefulness. Sure enough, the Lord used her, and she translated the book of Daniel, the book of Jonah. And when her husband was arrested by the Burmese government and the king at that time, and was put in a harsh prison, she would smuggle papers and pen so that her husband could translate it new, the whole New Testament, from Greek and Hebrew, and the whole Bible. She served God faithfully, and she got sick, and she gave her life in Burma. She never made it back to the United States. But you know, today, millions and millions of people came to know the Lord. The forgiveness of their sins and eternal life because of their faithfulness and their trust in the Lord. Yes, and found a life of usefulness. And Hannah did. Hannah found a life of usefulness. Not only she prayed for a son, when she got the son, she offered and she gave her son, her only son, for the glory and honor of God. Mothers and grandmothers and parents, I'm not asking you to literally and physically give up your children. Although one or two, a few might be, of us might be tempted, but I'm pretty sure that's not the case here in our church. But I ask you this. Will you seek a life of usefulness continually for yourself and for your family? Will you pray that their life will be useful for the glory of God no matter what? Whether they be the greatest businessman or woman, the greatest engineer, the greatest teacher, doctors, nurses, whatever profession they choose to, that they will be the greatest servant of the Lord wherever God send them. Can you pray for them? You see, our testimony, our lives, to shine for the glory of God doesn't mean that we wear crosses every day we go out to public places. Someone has said this before. If Christians, if he or she is a shoemaker, doesn't mean that he put crosses on every shoe that he makes just to show that he is sharing the gospel. Rather, make the best shoe possible, right? The best quality of shoe possible so that people will say, wow, who make these shoes? I take that principle. Mothers, parents, grandparents, will you pray and will you show your children, will you encourage your children so that whatever they do, whatever they are called to be, that all their works, all that they are, that they will shine for the glory of God and that they will pray, other will praise God because of their good works. That's sharing the gospel. That's sharing God's love. That is a part of sharing faith. Will you pray for them? Will you encourage them? And finally, remember that God not only hears our prayers, God not only calls us to be useful. Remember the God who calls us, the God who invites us, is the God who has concern for the oppressed and the afflicted, the brokenhearted. That's why God made moms, so that we all can learn about what nurturing is, what true unconditional love is. Debbie, I know you love your mom, and I know you love your daughter, Brandy, no matter what. Unconditional love. And that's why you ask us to pray for one day at a time. Sandy, I know you love your daughter and your grandchildren. But you know, there's going to be broken hearts. There's going to be tears. There's going to be sadness, confusions, loneliness, disappointment, rejections, heartaches and headaches. Even to the point where children will abandon their faith and they will turn their backs on God. When those time comes, mothers, grandmothers, and parents, will you remember God? The God who cares for the brokenhearted. The God who always seeks out for the lost. The God who always provides second chances with open arms, inviting others to come to him and always willing to say, welcome home. We have that God. Let us remember that. Thanks be to God. Amen.